Well, this is our final scheduled night for this series of classes. And we've been talking about relationships. Different types of relationships. We as the bride of Christ. Relationships towards each other. Today, this evening, I want to focus on the Father relationship, our relationship with the Father. The Father-Son, Father-Daughter relationship. And we've touched on it some, but tonight I want to focus specifically on that and hone in on that. Maybe you've heard some teachings on this. There's a lot of good teachings, and we need to have a right perception of who God the Father is, because we're going to naturally tend to view God the Father through the filter or lens of the kind of earthly father that we've seen, or maybe haven't seen. If we've had a father that we never knew or never saw, it's going to be hard for us to picture the God, the Father, because in our hearts we'll feel like he's not there. Usually it's easier for us to relate to Jesus, because he became a man and he was tempted in all ways like we are. And just what a lot of things that seem to be come across, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, we think of God the Father in the Old Testament, a God of vengeance and wrath. But then we think of Jesus in the New Testament, who came and loves us. But they are one. There's not a difference between Jesus and the Father. They're one. So I'm going to say some of these things because I want us to start. A lot of things we think subconsciously, and they affect us because of what we've seen or experienced. So we need to bring these things to the conscious level and work through them. So as I said, you may have had a father that wasn't there, or that you never knew. Is that how we're going to feel towards our Heavenly Father? Or maybe we had a father that never listened to what we said, didn't seem to have the time to hear what we had to say or what was on our heart. Then as we try to pray to God the Father, Satan will be there to push those buttons, because he knows what you've been through. And he'll make you feel and try to get you to believe that your Heavenly Father doesn't listen either. Or maybe you had a father that didn't let you speak. Maybe he talked and did all the bossing around, but you weren't allowed to have a voice. So you feel like you can't speak to your Heavenly Father. We want to talk to Jesus. You know what Jesus said? If I can find it in my notes here. In John 16:23, "And in that day," after Jesus was taken from them, died, rose again, and was resurrected, "in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And if you look through the whole New Testament, nobody prayed to Jesus. There's not any prayers to Jesus in the New Testament. Even when Jesus taught them to pray, he said, "This is how you should pray. How does it go? Our Father who art in heaven." We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So if you had a father that didn't let you speak, you have a father now who wants you to speak. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear your voice. Bring these things to the front of your mind and realize who your true father is. And you may be able to think of some other examples of how your father was or wasn't. Things that maybe weren't right. Don't look at God the Father through that filter, through that lens. He's a perfect father. I'm going to read a number of scriptures just talking about the Father. And the message time isn't going to be real long tonight because we want to save some time for some ministry to each of you that desire to be ministered to. But hear what the Word of God says about God the Father. A father of the fatherless and a judge of widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which were bound with chains. And some of you, that speaks to specifically. Some of you didn't really have a family, or maybe don't really have a family, but now God's put you in a family. He puts the solitary in families. Brings out those that are bound, that were bound with chains. You shall not afflict any widow or a fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry to me, I will surely hear their cry. Thou art a father, thou art a helper of the fatherless. And this one really means a lot to me. Even though I knew I have a good relationship with my father and my mother, this still ministers to me. This is Psalm 27:10, in case you want to jot down the reference. And maybe a lot of you know this. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. God, your Father, will take you up. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Your Father won't forget you. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. When you picture Jesus, he is the perfect representation of the Father. There's not a difference. Not the God of wrath and the Jesus of love. Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. But as many as received him, God says this, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to be called sons of God. If you're a son, if you're a daughter, that means he's the Father. And he gives you the right to be called that. He gives you the right to be called a daughter. He gives you the right to be called a son. You know, the world has tried to, and I talked about that last week, how the picture of the Father is made to look like someone that's an idiot or incompetent. But also the word son has been made to be derogatory. And maybe some of you used it when you're talking down to someone. You say, listen, son, who's not your son. And we use it as a derogatory term. But we don't need to embrace the definitions that the world puts on these things. Let's not take, just because the world has made it not a good thing, that doesn't mean it's not a good thing. Just like the world says marriage is a bad thing, but marriage is a good thing. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. And if you're a son, that's a good thing. Erase those negative connotations that may be there. Let the Holy Spirit heal you from those negative connotations. It's an honor and a privilege to be called a son. It's a blessing to be called a daughter. As many as received him, if you've received him, you have the right to be called a son or a daughter of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, I'm purposely not giving all the references because sometimes we're missing the word because we're writing down the numbers. If you want to get the references afterwards, I'll be glad to give them to you. And it's good to take notes. I'm not saying you shouldn't take notes, but I'm purposely doing it that way. Again, in the Lord's Prayer, after this manner pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. And in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's who God the Father is. He is love. I want to use that as kind of a transitional verse to move on to the next part of what we're wanting to say and see here. Some of you need to have this healing in your heart, regardless of what kind of father you had. Because all human fathers are just that, human, and they've made mistakes. I've made mistakes as a father, and I have regrets about some of the ways I've been as a father. But your Heavenly Father has not made a mistake. He's not done anything wrong. He always does what's right, even when we don't understand. There were three times when God spoke audibly in the New Testament. Two of those three times, he spoke about his love for his son. When Jesus was baptized, and lo, a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, or This is my Son whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. And in the mountain where the transfiguration took place, again, and there came a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son. And that means, This is my Son that I love. That's what beloved means. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. God the Father loves his children. He loves Jesus. He loves us because we love him. Because we love Jesus, he loves us. In 2 Peter 1:17, it reiterates some of that. It says, For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You have a father that loves you. But God wants to bring healing as well. And the ministry we're going to do tonight, we're going to get to it in a few minutes here, but some of you have never heard your earthly father one time say that I love you. There's some of you that have never heard that. And I'm going to have a couple of the men here help me. There's a lot of men that could be eligible for this, but I just asked a couple of them to come help me. I'm going to have Jason come up, and this will be still in a few minutes, but Jason, well, he's had some of this ministry of the Father's love, and now he's become a father to Davion, and God's showing him how to be a father to Davion. Even though he's not the biological father, he's his dad. He's a father. And I'm going to have Joe come up and help with this as well. And he's a father in the faith. And he's a father and a grandfather. Maybe a great-grandfather pretty soon. Maybe someday. I'm prophesying. So, and I'm also a father. I have 4 children. I have 2 grandchildren and 2 grandchildren on the way. Yeah. Yep. We're going to jump from 2 to 4 instantly because our daughter's expecting twins. Those of you that may not have heard that. So, but we want to minister to you and speak some things over you that you should hear, that you should have heard from an earthly father. And really, there's a concept in the Bible. We need to be godly. We need to be God-like. And there's a time when someone needs to take responsibility. There was people like Daniel and Nehemiah who were very righteous men. And there's not even anything recorded about them having done anything wrong. But they prayed. Daniel prayed this. He said, "We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your service of prophets who spoke in your name to our princes and to our fathers and to all the people of the land." And Nehemiah prayed something similar. "Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love to those who love him and obey his commands, let your ears be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayers of your that your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, for the people of Israel. I confess," Nehemiah said, "I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you." It says in Psalm 106, "We have sinned with our fathers." In Jeremiah, again, it also says, "We lie down in shame, and our reproach covers us. For we have sinned against our God, we and our fathers." I share those things to show sometimes there's a place for someone to take responsibility for the sins of others. God's looking for someone to do that. And in our healing, it can be the same way. Jason's not your father. Joe's not your father. I'm not your father. But we want to stand in the gap for you and take responsibility for the shortcomings of your earthly fathers and speak some things over you that maybe you never heard or you didn't hear often enough. Especially, like I said, maybe you've never heard that you were loved by a father. And it's not a magical thing, but there's a dynamic. When the word says, "Bear one another's burdens," there's a spiritual dynamic that takes place. You can't figure it out on paper. It takes place in the spirit realm. We have power in our words. And God will use words to bring healing to your hearts where you need healing. And I believe that God wants you this night tonight to bring healing to some wounds that some of you may have carried all your whole life. Maybe you don't even realize they're there because the bullet's still there, but the skin has healed up over the top of it. But there's still a bullet in there. And God can use this to bring healing to your life. So I'd like to ask if Hannah would come and play again. We're just going to have some music playing. And any of you that want to come up, especially if you've never heard your father say, I love you, allow us to speak some things over you. Things that are truth, not just made up. Things that God, your father, wants you to hear. And that God would have wanted your earthly father to say to you. So Joe and Jason, if you guys could come up. Take a moment to just pray. And if, as you're ready, just come up, line up in front of one of us. And the ladies can come as well. Tina's going to be standing beside me, because we don't want to make anybody feel awkward or anything. But let us minister to you tonight. Let the Lord bring healing to your heart. In Jesus' name.